Wednesday, August 27th. Today on the Fantasy Football Today podcast. What?
Nothing.
Today on the Fantasy Football Today podcast.
Today on the Fantasy Football Today podcast.
We are going to
shave Adam's face.
We're going to talk about last night's podcast league draft. Yeah. Also, strategies and drafting in deeper leagues.
What was that yeah for?
Because I'm excited.
Why are you excited? The draft is over. That's the best part.
But you know, we get to talk about it. We won't spend too much time on it. You and Jamie have matching shirts today.
It's cute.
He's here?
Yeah. He's walking right in right now.
Jamie's coming in. Oh, there he is. We don't have matching shirts. Not even close.
It's gray. Gray and gray. Your pants match his shirt.
That's true. Follow us on Twitter at Dave Richard, singular, at Jamie Eisenberg, J-A-M-E-Y, at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R. Oh, God. It's so obnoxious.
Cookies are done.
And at noon Eastern time, we have a live video show today breaking down a 10-team draft we did over the weekend.
We don't just have it today. We have it every day.
Yeah, but today specifically, we're breaking down the draft. Now, anyway, we'll also do rankings review. Who Dave's moving up and down in the rankings? We'll let Jamie react. New England traded Logan Mankins to Tampa Bay for Tim Wright. Is Tim Wright draftable? Some Josh Gordon news. Wes Welker's making progress. Packers running backs update. And, ladies and gentlemen, for your listening pleasure, Jamie Eisenberg.
Yay!
Speak. Come on, talk.
He's just grinning. Look at Jamie.
Jamie named his podcast league team Dave Richard, which really screwed me up this morning when I was trying to look at everyone's team.
That's why I did it, because Dave and I were drafting back-to-back, so I thought it would be funny.
It was funny. And Dave named his team Andy Reid's Pants.
I did.
That's pretty good.
I'm going to change my name to Dave Richard Socks.
That's Socks with an O, not with a U, by the way.
Socks.
Anyone
Socks.
Didn't hear that right.
Socks.
Jamie, I mentioned that you had a big day yesterday, and you weren't on the podcast, and you were going to talk about it when you got on the podcast, and you never made it to the podcast. So congratulations on yesterday's big day.
Nothing happened.
It was your son's first day of school.
Oh, yeah, that was.
Yeah,
yes.
It was a big
yes.
day.
Okay. Somebody tweeted me that. What happened? I said I retired.
Not that big of a day. Big of a day. All right, email of the day is from Eric.
Eric?
You're giving email of the day to Eric? I've never done a PPR league before, and I went into the draft a little unprepared. After researching PPR strategies, I'm beginning to think I didn't focus on the receiver position early enough. Do I need to make a trade for one of the elite receivers to take more advantage of the PPR format? 10-team, full-point PPR. My team is Rodgers, McCoy, Geo, Garcon, Michael Floyd, Julius Thomas, and Torrey Smith at flex, with Rashad Jennings, Decker, Reggie Wayne, Ridley, Rudolph, and Rivers on the bench.
I like it. I think it seems great the way it is.
You think so?
Definitely.
Without a stud receiver?
Yeah. By my count, he's got four difference makers on his team with, you know, potentially one more out of Garcon or Floyd, especially in the PPR format. Jennings is a great PPR. That's on his bench. He'd be good in the flex. Decker, I think, is a good flex in a PPR league. Ridley doesn't catch the ball, but if he can hold on to the ball and his job, then he could end up being a big-time player in that league. This is a great team, even better than your typical 10-team PPR roster.
I think if you get running backs who are really good in the format, like Giovanni Bernard.
And LeSean McCoy, right.
Yeah,
they're
McCoy,
both going to
yeah.
catch at least 50 passes.
And you get
Do you McCoy still above 50 passes?
Hmm?
You think McCoy is still above 50 passes?
Yeah. What do I project him for?
Even he was 52 last year, and now he's got Sproles?
I might project him for just under. Let me see. Now you've got me thinking again.
Well, I think if you get running backs who are good in the format.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I project him for under that. But still over 30 with a lot of yardage and touchdowns. He's going to total a lot of yards on the ground.
I think if you get running backs who are really good in the format, then McCoy's good in any format, and you get Julius Thomas, and you have a great quarterback, then you know, you're not going to get the stud receivers, but that doesn't mean you failed in PPR.
Right.
Okay.
So and he's got a stud tight end on top of it.
Right. Tweet of the day number one is from Dolph Zelinski.
Not Ziggler?
No. Fifth pick in a PPR draft, Lacy or Demaryius?
Neither. Should be able to get Calvin or Forte there.
Tweet of the day number two, John Gamboa. Help! Josh Gordon is a free agent in my league. Should I drop Lance Dunbar, Kristen Michael, Jared Boykins, or LeGarrette Blount for Josh Gordon?
Dunbar.
Agreed. Remember, you're cutting the guy who is least likely to get the most attention from the other owners in your fantasy league.
Is Dunbar?
When you do that. Dunbar would fill that. I think if you drop I think
you have
if you
Murray.
Drop,
do you drop Dunbar?
Yeah, because I even more reason why other people in the league probably won't go chasing after Dunbar if you cut him. If you cut Michael, more than the Marshawn owner is going to look at him. If you cut Blount or Blunt, the Le'Veon owner would take a look at him, and maybe one or two others. And Boykin, same thing. All those other guys attract attention. Dunbar won't.
Sorry for saying Boykins. It is singular. Boykin. Tweet of the day, right, Dave Richards? Tweet of the day number 3 from Andrew Jacobs. I don't want to get cute, but nobody does well at Seattle. Should I bench Cobb for Joik Bell against the Giants in a PPR league in week 1?
I wouldn't say nobody does well at Seattle. Maurice Jones-Drew had a nice game at Seattle last season.
Yeah.
In a PPR league, I can't get away from sitting Cobb.
For Joik Bell.
I mean, what do you expect them to do? They're going to go out. They're probably going to be in
a competitive
game.
Do you think they're
going to
quit by the second quarter? Right.
And they're going to be throwing.
What are you guys going to recommend in terms of the Packers in week 1? Like, would you sit,
you start them.
Would you sit Joik? Would you sit Eddie Lacy for Joik Bell in a PPR league?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. Okay. That's too cute.
Just think about last year's week 1. Eddie Lacy against the 49ers. 49ers, very good defensively.
Right.
I believe the game was in San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken. And, yeah, because Bolden had that huge game. It was in San Francisco.
Okay.
And Lacy scored.
Yeah, okay. All right, good call. Injuries, news, and notes.
By the way, I'm doing a mock draft with users in 6 minutes.
Oh, really?
Oh, so right here on
the
air?
I'll let you guys make picks with me.
Okay. Oh, okay, fine. Injuries, news,
That's
and notes.
That's a good idea. Nice job.
The Patriots traded a guard, Logan Mankins, a Pro Bowler, to the Buccaneers for tight end Tim Wright and a 2015 fourth round pick.
Holy hell, did Twitter explode with, should I drop this guy and add Tim Wright ASAP? And I mean, the guys, they were talking about, do I drop Pierre Thomas?
Well, we did a draft yesterday and Tim Wright was drafted.
He was?
Last night?
No. The Fantasy Football Today draft that we did in
which
the afternoon.
Which was PPR. I was considering taking Tim Wright last night with a late pick, 14 round, 14 team PPR league. That's the podcast league, but I already had two tight ends, so I didn't do it. But I could see the case to be made there. Where are you guys on Tim Wright?
I am not drafting him.
I'm going to wait and see.
Right. I think there's a chance that in the second half of the season he can come on strong and do some nice things. But he's got to learn that offense. He's got to find a – what are you doing? What are you laughing at?
Talk,
Adam.
Adam.
Talk. Say something.
What's wrong?
No.
Cat got your tongue?
What's wrong?
No, nothing. I think – would you rather have Tim Wright?
He's got a chunk of bagel in his mouth.
Unreal.
I'm so hungry, and this bagel looks so good.
You were complaining about it before the show because you didn't know what kind of a bagel it was.
All right, well, actually, we have bagels today at
Everybody
work.
Everybody wants to hear you chew. Come on.
And I picked up a bagel. I thought it was a wheat bagel, and it was cinnamon, so I didn't want it. What do you do in that situation? Stop. That's not me. That's Jamie. What do you do in that situation? You
of all the people
back?
Who would eat on the podcast, the leading contender would be me, and now here you are. Yeah, if your claws are on it, I don't.
Did
think
you
so.
Say
I,
what?
I didn't put it.
What happens if any of us finish in the final four of the?
We're getting there. We're getting there. I'm not drafting Tim Wright. I am, believe it or not, slightly more excited about Austin Seferian Jenkins, though.
All right, I saw you
and even though they're, to me, Wright was blocking Seferian Jenkins. Now that he's gone, it's a sign that Seferian Jenkins might get pushed into playing time a little bit sooner than everybody thought. And I think Wright's going to take some time before being the next Aaron Hernandez type of tight end receiver guy in New England.
Does this make you feel better about Doug Martin, Jamie?
Yeah, I mean, this just continues to get better for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first he gets the injury to Charles Sims, and then he gets a improvement in his offensive line. They still may sign Richie Incognito as well, just to provide depth there. So this is a situation that's just making him look better and better. I don't know how you get away from it. And just to go back to Tim Wright. Think about how guys get incorporated into this New England offense and how quickly it takes. It doesn't happen very quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandon LaFell's struggling right now.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to Brandon Lloyd. Took him a while to get acclimated to this team. I don't know how much Tom Brady's going to say, we have to get this guy in the field, or Bill Belichick's going to say, we have to get this guy in the field. Dave said it best. Middle of the season, end of the season, he may be somebody you're looking to pick up. And the one caveat would be, is if Rob Gronkowski's not ready. Then that elevates him a lot more. But
see,
yeah,
but he's not a tight end like Rob Gronkowski.
No, but there's still that role to be filled of somebody other than Edelman in the middle of the field that Tom Brady will look toward. And so he's got receiving skills. He was a converted receiver.
Yeah.
So that will help him in terms of his playmaking ability, but he's a horrible blocker.
Right.
He's like a receiver. He's a
and
receiver.
It has nothing to do with Gronkowski. I know people are going to say, does this mean anything? Does this mean Gronk's not ready? No.
No, he's fine.
Oakland cornerback DJ Hayden will be on the PUP list due to a foot injury. He'll miss at least 6 games.
That sucks.
Josh Gordon's DUI case was continued until November 18th.
Which doesn't mean the case is going to happen every day until November 18th, because when you think of to be continued, it's,
right.
Ooh, another episode. It just means it's been delayed. Apparently, there's going to be a ruling in the next few days on Josh Gordon. We've heard
Let's
that before,
guess.
Though.
Let's guess. What do you think?
No suspension.
What do you think,
None.
Josh Gordon?
Misses here.
I agree. No suspension?
I'm just being stupid.
Well, that's great, Dave. That's what the fantasy listeners want to hear.
I'm being an optimist.
Wes Welker.
Actually, that is what the fantasy people want to hear. No suspension.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, they don't want to hear I'm being stupid.
I wonder, though, if he's not suspended, and let's just say it happens tomorrow, and they say, we haven't found enough evidence to keep him suspended
right,
for the
right,
year,
right.
It's overturned. How overdrafted do you think Josh Gordon's going to be?
Oh,
because
dude.
He's looked
Round
miserable
two.
When he's been on the
yeah.
field.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. So let's say.
Like, after all this,
okay,
I still would take him.
I'm asking you, where are you taking him? Because I know where I would take him.
You wouldn't.
I would take him in the second round.
You would take him in the second round. Ahead of who? I'll do your game. Josh Gordon or, and then you pause and you go, Josh Gordon or, because you're thinking, Josh Gordon or Julio Jones?
Oh, Julio.
Josh Gordon or Brandon Marshall?
Marshall.
No.
AJ Green.
Green.
Josh
Jordy
Gordon.
Nelson.
Jordy.
Can I do this?
And
Antonio
then Josh
Brown.
Gordon.
Am
and
I here?
Then Antonio Brown.
Hi. Josh, after Antonio Brown?
Before Antonio Brown.
Before Antonio
yeah.
Brown. I'd be way lower. And
Why?
By way, I mean like 3 spots.
He hasn't missed training camp. Yeah, he's been miserable, but maybe this gets his mind right to focus on football.
Yeah,
this
but
guy
see,
was
they,
the number
they
one
know
wide
what,
receiver in fantasy last year.
He was number two. These guys know what's happening.
Wasn't he number one in PPR?
He would have been number one if he played the 2 games he wasn't suspended for. So, yes, technically he would be number one, but he actually finished number two.
All right.
By 1 point.
By 1 point, wow.
How many targets do you think he averaged on a per-game basis? I only know this because I wrote my Cordarrelle Patterson prediction piece last night.
Honestly, I don't even think it would be that high. I would say on a per-game basis, 16.
No, 14.
14.
Oh, 14. 9.
I'll say lower. 7.
A number?
7.
6.
That's it?
That's it.
6
yeah,
targets
yeah.
on that. 87 targets.
Oh, he was a
games.
Monster after the catch.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
87 targets, and he finishes the number 2 wide receiver.
Which is, if you like Cordarrelle Patterson, that's a good number.
Did you say, oh my gosh, or oh my Josh?
I would have no problem with Josh Gordon. So where would you guys take him?
He'd be 12th for me among wide receivers.
In front of?
Fitzgerald, V-Jack, Andre Johnson, and the aforementioned Cordarrelle Patterson.
And you?
I'd probably put him 11th.
Head of Crabtree?
Head of Crabtree.
You know, it's... Okay.
I have Crabtree 12.
I want to ask you guys about...
So you had to put him ahead of
I want to ask you about that group of wide receivers.
Okay.
I'm finding myself... When I get after Alshon Jeffrey and Antonio Brown and Randall Cobb are off the board.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really don't like. I'm not saying all of them are going to be bad. Maybe none of them are going to be bad, but I don't see really a lot of difference between them. We're talking Fitzgerald, Vincent Jackson, Andre Johnson.
Crabtree.
Yeah, I like Crabtree a little bit better just for whatever reason. It's just very personal. I get like a personal decision. But that group of wide receivers, not elite, solid, like. High-end number twos, maybe. I don't really like drafting them. In fact, I almost want to reach for Patterson ahead of a lot of guys that you guys have ranked in front of him. But I still see the downside.
I'm taking
with Patterson.
I'm taking a lot of running backs ahead of those guys, too.
Yeah.
I'm finding myself not getting Fitzgerald, Jackson, and Johnson in my fantasy drafts. But if I do get them, it's like round 4.
Mm-hmm.
So the value makes up for it a little bit, I guess.
Now, if you're looking at that group of wide receivers and maybe you don't like them that much, do you take a quarterback there?
Depends maybe. On what's left at running back and tight end.
Yeah. Well, let's say the top 3 tight ends are off the board, and now we're looking
and
at the...
what running backs are left?
The best would be like Ryan Matthews, Reggie Bush, Joique Bell, that group. You'd have to maybe go for like staff. You'd have to reach for Matt Ryan. Let's
yeah,
say
and it also would depend on what my first... What round are we talking about? Round 3? It's probably
late round 3, around mid round 4, early to mid round
4.
Yeah,
it depends on what else my team has.
Okay, I'm up.
Like if I don't have any wide receivers, I'm going to have to plunk it down on
You're going to have
Fitzgerald
to.
First, then Jackson. And Jackson I'm okay with because at the end of the year his stat should be all right.
Over
He's just going to be up and down. No, Crabtree's
ahead
of them too, just like he is for you. Jamie, you're up.
Pick. Number seven. First six were as expected.
Standard scoring.
Gostkowski.
McCoy.
Dawson.
McCoy. Peterson. Jamal Charles. Third. Eddie Lacy. Fourth. Matt Forte. Fifth. Uh-huh. Calvin Johnson. Sixth. I know I'm taking, but you guys can.
You're taking Jimmy, and I like it.
Wait, did you say Lacy?
Yes.
Yeah, then you're taking Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy.
Jimmy.
The chat room wants to know what you're wearing today, Dave.
Describe it. Take a look at this. Masterpiece.
Yeah, the reason I said I'm going to call myself your socks because you have a hole in your socks.
Already,
you
I do? Yeah. Where? Oh, yeah, look at that.
Everybody's wearing a lot of greats.
I saw it when I walked in the room. It's the first thing I looked at.
It was my feet. It's been what Adam's been looking at lately. Right, Adam?
Wes Welker's making good progress, according to John Fox. And he went in like late in the seventh or eighth round in our PPR draft, and I thought that had the potential to be one of the best picks of the draft.
It definitely has the potential. You're just having to, you know, deal with the risk of what happens when he gets popped again.
How many games would you take from Wes Welker if you draft him, you know, around 100th overall?
Six.
Six?
Mm-hmm.
Like more than that. Really? Six.
Well, you'd like more than that, but yeah, I mean, that'd be my floor. If I get six games of Wes Welker, think about where he was in the red zone last year, what he did to start the season.
Yeah. I think I said this on the podcast, Jamie, I'm sorry, but 23 red zone targets for him and Decker last year, tied for second.
Yeah, you said it on the video. Yesterday.
I said it on the video, yeah.
Larry Hartstein did a great blog about the old receivers in the NFL and how quickly they got off to hot starts last year and tailed off. Mm. And I think he may have tracked it like for the last couple of years.
It's interesting.
And Welker was the poster child for
it.
10 touchdowns early, and then the injury started, but also the production tailed off.
That's very interesting.
Yep.
And the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says DeJuan Harris and James Starks are close in the competition for Green Bay's number two running back. If you draft Eddie Lacy today, who are you backing him up with?
It's still Starks, but I know that DeJuan is like a favorite of Mike McCarthy's, and McCarthy liked Harris when he came in and kind of salvaged the run game a couple of years back, and now he's kind of like, I don't know if I want to say he's rooting for DeJuan Harris, but he likes how he's come back from the torn ACL. Wouldn't surprise me if Harris ended up overtaking Starks, but that's because I've always seen Starks as kind of just a guy.
Right.
But I also know that they like to use Harris on special teams.
Mm.
So that might ding his value a little bit compared to Starks.
Dave,
and that could vary back and forth, by the way.
I want to look at your rankings and see some of the moves you've made, and then Jamie can react. But first, a question. Are you guys too low on Pierre Thomas in PPR leagues? Dave has him 24th and Jamie 27th. And that, to me, sounds a little cray. A little cray. I'll just say that. Jamie gave me a hard time for taking him as the 20th running back off the board in a PPR league yesterday. And he finished 16th last year in PPR.
Silly.
And Darren Sproles once finished in the top 10 in standard and number 5 in PPR in the same offense. And by the way, Darren Sproles caught 71 passes last year for the Saints, and now he's gone.
So that means Pierre Thomas catching 148.
Yes.
Gotcha.
That's exactly what I mean. No, but I think he's got a good shot for 90.
Just wanted to follow your thinking.
I think he has a good shot for 90, don't you? He had 77 last year, no Sproles.
He will not catch 90 passes.
Why not?
He might not catch 70 passes.
What's the difference between Pierre Thomas and Shane Vereen, who you guys love in PPR?
Vereen is younger, healthier, can certainly move faster than
healthier?
Pierre Thomas.
Shane Vereen gets hurt every year.
He does get hurt every
year. He's not healthier. You can't say he's healthier.
Pierre's had all sorts of knee issues over his career.
I think Pierre Thomas is going to be very similar.
Pierre
to
Thomas has
ago.
Missed one game over three seasons.
The problem is that Pierre Thomas last year, along with the 77 catches, was also their primary running back to open the year.
Right, I understand.
And that's where I think he's going to lose out a little bit. I think he's a very solid player. And I was joking with you where you took him. I just thought you took him a little early. It's not that where you took him in terms of the running backs that went off the board. I think you could have gotten him around later.
How many touchdowns did he have last year?
Five total.
I don't think he can do any better than that.
That's fine. I mean, that's not a lot.
No, look,
with 1,000 total yards,
he's very solid.
And the catches, you know, if he gets 70 catches, 1,000 total yards, and 5 touchdowns, that's a good number two running back in a PPR league. No,
but you're counting on him getting those catches again.
Why wouldn't he?
I think it's realistic. I don't think it's that far of a stretch because, as you said, Sproles is gone. He's their primary guy in that role, but they are trying to work in Kyrie Robinson catching the ball a little bit more. They're even trying to work in Mark Ingram catching the ball a little bit more.
That's fine. I got 71 catches.
You keep hearing us, you know, and Dave was saying this right when he was drafted. Brandon Cooks is going to step in to take some of that, if not a good chunk of it. and they're going to do some different things. I mean, this is going to be the exact same offense because it's not the exact same parts.
No, but this is an offense that consistently has had running backs catch the ball.
Yeah, no, he's very good. I just the only reason I said it to you was because I thought you could have gotten him around later.
All right.
I would add this. Standard scoring leagues, only 3 games with 10 or more fantasy points last year. If you gave him the extra 77 points that he had in a standard league to a PPR, that's almost 200 fantasy points over 16 games. Probably looking at an average of 11.8 fantasy points per week.
That's really good.
That's good for a flex in a PPR. That's not good.
Dave,
I don't think that's
I'm
good
telling
for
you that he was
the
number 16 running back in PPR.
You can tell me that all you
year,
want.
So how can you say he wasn't a number 2
I'm
running
telling
back?
You what I don't think. He was technically a number 2 running back.
He was almost a number 1.
But I don't think that average is ideal. I think you can do better than that.
Yeah, if you don't get a guy who scores a lot of touchdowns, you're not getting a high-end
right.
guy. I understand that.
And there's just no guarantee on
took him around
either of those workloads.
Around 4, I think it was.
Yeah, I think I took him in round 4. Yeah.
By the way, my team threw 3 rounds, and somebody named Cool Team says, tell Adam, I have Drew Brees. my team threw 3 rounds is Jimmy Graham, Alfred Morris, Randall Cobb.
Nice.
Graham, Morris, Cobb. Good. So, Dave, you moved Josh McCown down to 24th, Jake Locker up to 20th.
I did.
Discuss.
I think that Jake Locker, I needed to give him more credit for being a rusher in the projections. I think he's had a good preseason in training camp.
And what about...
I think I'd rather gamble on him than McCown.
Okay, what about McCown? You know, obviously really solid last year. Could he be a surprise?
He's looked good.
Yeah, could he be a surprise waiver wire guy that's going to be starting for fantasy owners in one quarterback league?
I think it, as a bye week quarterback, when the matchup's right, he's somebody you could go to.
He's safer than Locker. That's the one difference.
So maybe...
You're right. Locker, definitely, you're playing the upside slash potential card.
So in a two-quarterback league, would you take Locker or McCown?
I'd still take Locker ahead of McCown.
How about you?
As a third?
No, as your number 2. You waited.
Number 2? If you take Locker, you have to take a third. If you take McCown, you don't.
All right. That's fair. Dave moved Doug Martin.
I didn't
move
McCown down to 27, by the way.
27th?
Is
when?
That what you said? No,
said
you
24th.
That's what I thought you said 27th.
No.
Okay.
Dave moved Doug Martin to 9th ahead of Alfred Morris, who's now 10th. That's in standard scoring leagues. Morris is 19th in PPR, but Martin 9th.
Jamie made some good sense about Alfred Morris when we talked about RG3 and why he could struggle this year. Obviously, that would impact Alfred Morris a little bit as well. And Doug Martin got Logan Mankins. I can't deny it anymore. Doug Martin is a top 10 fantasy running back. You should feel very... Before Charles Sims got hurt, I think everybody was nervous taking Doug Martin. Now that Sims is hurt, Mike James is hurt, and Logan Mankins is bolstering an offensive line that really needed it, I think we can feel a lot better about taking Doug Martin with a, goodness, probably a pick closer to 15th overall.
Right now he's going 25th. Doug Martin.
That number should go up.
It is
and
going up.
And if it doesn't, then you're stealing him.
Yeah, it is going up, but yeah, that's great value if you can get him at the end of round 2. Dave moved Bishop Sankey down to 27th in standard scoring leagues, 29th in PPR. Jamie has Sankey still in his top 24, but just barely. 23rd for Jamie in standard and 22nd in PPR. So who are some guys you would now take over Bishop Sankey?
Some guys that I would take ahead of Bishop Sankey include, and this is going to make me a little sick, so if I throw up, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Gore, Spiller, Rashad Jennings, Ben Tate, and this is the big one. Taking a big deep breath. Chris Johnson.
Good luck with that.
You wouldn't take Chris Johnson
over
Bishop Sankey?
No way.
I'll take it. I think he's safer than Bishop Sankey right now. I don't think anything is guaranteed for Bishop Sankey. I took him in this draft we were in yesterday, and I basically took him by default. I needed a number 2 running back. It forced me to take Sean Green later. I felt icky taking both.
You're going to start Sean Green over Sankey first week, right?
Yeah, sure, until Sean Green pops his knee, and then he's out, and then Sankey comes in. And I'm just hoping that Sankey gets an opportunity within the first 6 weeks.
Now, let's say Sean Green goes down. What kind of role would Dexter McCluster have, and what kind of role would Sankey have?
I think McCluster's role is etched in stone as the Woodhead type role. They're not going to start using him between the tackles any more than a couple times a game. He's going to catch passes. And for now, Sankey is the guy behind Sean Green.
So, Jamie, how come Sankey, you like him better than like him still better than Richardson, Gore, Rice, Jennings, Chris Johnson, Tate?
I don't think they made the investment in him to have him sit behind Sean Green until Sean Green gets hurt. I don't think they made the investment in him to have him play as low as he is on the depth chart for 16 games with the opportunity that should be in front of him. So I think what Dave said yesterday or 2 days ago about the Zach Stacy comparison is dead on. And by third, fourth week of the season, when they're struggling, they will definitely make the move to put Bishop Sankey on the field. And so I will play the upside card as opposed to all those old running backs that are just not good.
Right. Well,
Chris Johnson's averaging 4.7 yards per carry this preseason.
And Chris Ivory's averaging, what, 4.6? So they're going to all of a sudden give him every opportunity, and he's not going to catch passes because Bilal Powell's looked better in pass protection than him.
So you're saying Chris Johnson's going to play 10 times a game. Here I am defending Chris Johnson.
No, I just don't think
it's my own fault because I moved him ahead of
Sankey. I don't think Chris Johnson has any upside. I think if you settle for Chris Johnson,
I'll take a guy who's definitely going to play and has a shot at 1,200 total yards and 6 touchdowns.
Ivory's
over a rookie who's a backup. Exactly.
And Sean Green's not?
No, but it's the same argument.
Right.
It's
so who has argument. More upside?
I'd say Sankey has more upside.
Exactly.
Dave?
Sankey definitely has more upside.
Yeah. No Sean Marino. Dave, you moved him up inside your top 35.
Looks good.
Ahead of Miller?
In PPR.
Okay.
Standard, they're back-to-back.
Gotcha. Best guess at what happens there in Miami?
Mix and match until somebody steps up. No Sean's got the same type of injury concerns and whatnot as basically Sean Green has. Maybe not quite as bad.
Herc's here.
Big Herc.
What's up, Herc?
Yes, Herc, we will talk about your awesome podcast league team in a little bit.
Good stuff.
Would you like to come in and talk about it later?
All right.
I'll IM you. Dave moved Emmanuel Sanders up to 17th in both formats ahead of Michael Floyd and Pierre Garçon
in PPR.
Love.
I'm in love. Although I did something weird yesterday in our 14-team league. I actually took Floyd ahead of Sanders.
Why?
I don't know. That's a crazy question.
You know,
I just feel like it was a PPR league, so it feels like he's a safer bet to catch more passes. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to get more yardage and more touchdowns than Sanders.
Well, that's the point I was going to make in deeper leagues. I wanted to talk about that. Sometimes you err
on the
side of
caution. You go the safety way. Right.
Because a bust in a deeper league, a 14-team league or larger, can really hurt you. So, you really like Sanders. Okay, you've said your piece on that. I want to talk about some deeper league guys here. Cecil Shorts, you moved him down, 47th in standard, 58 in PPR. Still ahead of Marquise Lee.
Yeah, I don't want either guy.
Jamie, do you want either guy, Shorts or Lee?
I would still take Shorts over Lee because if he's healthy, he's going to be the better of the two. But, I mean, that's the range you're looking at these guys.
Dave moved Travis Kelce and Richard Rodgers up to 20 and 21 in his tight end rankings.
So we had something fun happen on Fantasy Football Today on Tuesday. Jim Nantz called in and kind of called us out for not having Kelce and Rodgers high enough in our rankings. And so the first thing I did was went back and watched them play. And Kelce, to me, because he really, I just don't know how much work he'll get with Andy Reid. And I think it's going to take a little bit of research. Do you think he's going to be an every down player for Kansas City?
Eventually.
Right. I don't think he's a
like
top.
Like week one when Dwayne Bowe's not there.
It's possible. And I'd love to see it. I'm not quite as crazy high on him yet. I feel like I still need more work to do on him. I've done enough work on Rodgers to know, A, he's been playing with the first stringers. B, he's a good receiver and a matchup nightmare for opposing defenses. C, he's a miserable blocker. That could be an issue that comes back to cost him some playing time later on. But for now, if you're looking for sleeper tight ends, Kelce's ahead of Rodgers.
Interesting. People are going to see Richard Rodgers, hear this news, and say, Packers tight end, got to have him, Jamie. Richard Rodgers.
It's too much of a mixed bag because you saw it in the preseason game. As good as Rodgers looked to open the season, Corliss scored a touchdown. So that's what you have to understand.
Corliss is banged up now.
So is Bostic. It's just a matter of what happens when everybody's healthy.
Well, it'll depend on how Richard Rodgers probably does. And if he steps up and plays, like Nantz was saying, as a 5-year veteran of the Packers, if he pulls that off, then he's not coming off the field.
Dave moved Austin Seferian Jenkins up to 28th, so he's still a deep league guy.
Might go higher.
And you moved the Green Bay DST up to 10th.
That was a while ago.
After losing Raji?
Yeah. Raji wasn't that huge of a deal for them. I mean, literally, he might have been, but figuratively. He wasn't great.
Guys, let's spend a little bit of time talking about drafting and anything deeper than a 12-team league and how it changes your strategy. Jamie?
I think it just depends on the format. Like our format yesterday, being a 14-team PPR league, I punted on running backs. So I took my first three picks, I took three receivers, and I was very happy about it.
Well, you had the last pick. You had the 14th pick.
Mm-hmm.
So you went Marshall and who? Julio? Or
I went Julio and Marshall in my first two picks, and then my third pick was Andre Johnson.
Yeah, honestly, I don't really like your team.
That's okay.
But I see you didn't punt on – you punted on running backs for a while, and then you went crazy and drafted like 15 of them.
That's the point. I took three difference-making wide receivers in this format, and then I decided, let me just load up on everybody's backup running backs and see what happens.
All right, so you have Andrew Luck, Fred Jackson, C.J. Spiller, Julio Jones, Brandon Marshall, Charles Clay at tight end, and Andre Johnson. So, yeah, your running backs are the Bills guys, your two starters. And
no,
on the bench you have
– I won't start both.
Ahmad Bradshaw, Nile Davis, Devontae Freeman, Jonathan Grimes, and Terrence West.
You are probably going to start both in week one, but I don't think it's going to be something
that
you do every week. Against Chicago, the way you feel about the Bears' defense?
Yeah, I'll just have to take a look, see how it all shakes out.
I think
who would you go with, just off the top of your head? Who would you rather go with on your team?
I'll see how Arian's doing. Grimes is a potential candidate. Mm-hmm. I think he'll get some work in the first week.
You took a lot of high upside
Bradshaw.
Backups.
Bradshaw's a possibility. Mm-hmm.
Bradshaw, Nile Davis, Devontae Freeman, Jonathan Grimes, and Terrence West. That's his entire bench.
Yep.
So eventually you'll be able to plug and play, get some good guys. I just hope it's not too late for you. I don't know.
I love that you didn't draft any other receivers, because why do you need to?
Julio, Marshall, and Andre.
Right, and Marshall and Julio do have the same bye week, but you can worry about that later. It's week 9.
Yeah, it's 9, 9, and 10 for my
Right. So you can find a receiver before week 9.
I'm sort of finding my quarterback approach to be a little bit different in deeper leagues. I'm prioritizing it more than in 12-team and 10-team leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Kaepernick hasn't looked good. RG3 hasn't looked good.
His line hasn't looked good.
Yeah, so maybe the last of the top 12 quarterbacks aren't as exciting, and then I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to have Phillip Rivers or Russell Wilson as my starting quarterback in a deep league, so I go a little earlier on quarterback. How about you?
In a deep league, I did the exact same thing. I wanted to have a quarterback that I felt comfortable with and didn't have to mess around with, and that's why I took Stafford in round 4, which I've been saying all along is something that I want to do. Again, in a 14-team league, I want to get as many difference makers as I can get, and he was one of them.
Right. So do you go like position scarcity more or less so in deeper formats, like passing up on a stud to make sure you get your number 2 running back, because if you don't take your RB2 here, it's going to be really bad next round. You know what I'm saying?
I probably get to that point by like round 5. Maybe a little earlier in a 14-team league, probably round 4, just because I just want guys that I can count on for big points each week.
Yeah.
And guys, if my team stinks, I could potentially trade for 2 starters. Like Stafford's one of those guys. If my team gets off to a slow start, I might be able to deal Stafford for Jay Cutler and a running back that's broken out, or you know.
But why would anybody?
Phillip
Rivers
and a receiver.
If Cutler's playing well.
Well, what if Stafford's playing better? That's the point.
Yeah, but what are you getting back though? If the
I'm just trying to turn one player into 2 players, and that's if my team's bad. If my team's good, like I'm hoping it's going to be, I don't have to worry about it.
I actually think Dave had a great draft yesterday.
Thank you, Adam.
I have to pull up Andy Reid's pants. Matthew Stafford is PPR. Remember, 14 teams. Matthew Stafford, Giovanni Bernard, Bishop Sankey, Michael Floyd, and AJ Green. Danny Woodhead at your flex, your tight ends, you took both Chargers guys. You took Gates and Ladarius Green. You took Green first, then Gates. And on your bench, you have Sean Green, you have Lamar Miller, Anquan Boldin, Kenbrell Tompkins. I think it's a very good team. Why'd you take Green over Gates? You still like Green better?
Ladarius Green over Gates? I figured that Gates had a better chance to make it back to me on the swing than Green did. I knew that my game plan was to take both of them.
Yeah.
So it was just a matter of figuring out which tight end Jamie was least likely to take, since he was the only guy picking between my 2 picks.
I don't think I took either one, right?
You didn't, because I took Green before you did, and then you passed on Gates, and I got him right back with my very next pick.
Any other strategy tips for deeper leagues? Anybody? DSTs.
Just do your research on late-round guys. so that you're not just staring at a bunch of names and you go, oh, I recognize this guy's name. I'm going to take him. Have some names in mind for the back third of your draft.
Do you prioritize DSTs more since they might be a little harder to stream?
You know, I thought about taking the Seahawks DST, I think, in like round 11. They might have been gone by then. But I was thinking about a big-time DST a little earlier than normal. So, yeah, I think you could consider the Seahawks DST a difference maker for your team.
Well, let's talk about the podcast league. This is something that we do for our awesome listeners that are lucky enough to be in here. I know you guys to be in the league. I know you guys wanted us to break it down a little bit. So Herc's coming in. He'll talk about his team. But our contestants in the podcast league, since I don't think we did this, we kind of gave all the spots away on the video show, and then like I gave a couple away on Twitter. Eric Nielsen from Collinsville, Illinois.
What are we doing?
Has a 2-year-old girl, and he's in the terrible. What do you mean? I'm giving the podcast league roster.
You're going to tell everybody about who's in the podcast league, or are you talking about their team?
Cyrus Cheese. No, I'm not going to talk about every team. I'm just going to give these guys their due.
All right, quickly.
Shut up.
Cyrus
Cheeseman. We're not going to help everybody with every second of every podcast.
Don't yell at me. You're bringing back bad childhood memories.
Anthony Bartolucci.
This might have been the greatest moment on the show so far.
Zachary Pitts. Joshua Whittinghill.
You're the Zachary Pitts.
Pete Neubacher. Mark Yang, who's a Chinese-American that immigrated to the U.S. when he was 11 and was in the National Guard. And he was in the Army National Guard for 8 years, including Operation Iraqi Freedom and Noble Eagle. So he's been kind of running lead on the league, too. We thank you for all your service. Brian Helwich, AJ, and one more guy, Blaine, who...
All you're going to say for AJ is AJ?
I think AJ was the guy who got locked out of his house and had a draft outside.
He also bought my mother's book, children's book, Naughty Nana,
cool.
Available at palmcirclepress.com.
Okay, and
support your independent author.
So everybody doesn't get mad at us, let's move on and talk about...
That was quick, Adam. Thank you.
Michael Hercum's team's here, or team. Herc, welcome to the podcast for the first time.
I know, I feel like I'm getting like recalled from the minors, and you know, this is my 2014 debut.
Herc, you stole Shane Vereen from
me. No, you'd only be a September call.
Colin Kaepernick, Jamal Charles, Shane Vereen, Julian Edelman, Golden Tate. Jeez, your team's awesome. Travis Kelce, Toby Gerhardt at flex. Bengals defense, Nick Novak. On your bench, you have Tavon Austin, Kelvin Benjamin, Jarrett Boykin, Jordan Matthews, and Mohamed Sanu. 5 wide receivers on your bench.
I took Dave's strategy.
Did you say Kelvin Benjamin?
Yeah.
I took Dave's strategy of the 7 wide receivers, 3 running backs. See how that suits me.
That's my strategy?
In one league, you took like 7 wide receivers. So
that doesn't sound like me. does not sound like me.
What did you think of your team, Herc?
I liked it, but apparently fantasy journalists hated it. I had the second to worst team in the league.
That's so weird. I think your team's great. Am I missing something, Dave?
No, his team is very good for a 14-team league, and he's one Travis Kelce breakout away from running away with the league.
I mean, look, you got Edelman and Tate, who in standard scoring leagues, you don't want them to be your top two receivers, but I think they're good at
PPR. In a PPR, it's a different game.
And you got Jamal Charles and Shane Vereen and Toby Gerhardt. So obviously you took a flex before a receiver, right?
Here's the thing that happened because I was shocked. I thought Jamal Charles would have went first overall, and he slid to me at 3. And then on the way back, I was sitting there and I was like, Shane Vereen's rated high. Okay, I'll take him. And then I was thinking about a wide receiver with my third pick. But I just didn't really care for it. At the time, like Andre Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald. And
that's exactly what I was saying. We were
talking about this earlier, how those guys are kind of undesirable.
Yeah, and I was like, you know what? And I'll go with 3 running backs, and I think by the time fourth round comes around, I can get a decent wide receiver. And in PPR, I got Julian Edelman.
And your third running back was Gerhardt.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that Jamal Charles slipped to you at 3. I had the second pick, and I took McCoy. Remember who the first pick was?
Yeah, Calvin Johnson.
Yeah. Calvin Johnson. So let's look at Mark's team because I just don't know his team name, but I'll look at the roster grid. So he took the Calvin Johnson with the first pick in a PPR league, 14 teams.
And Mark Yang?
Yeah, I'm just trying to find
his team.
Team
name is Steelers Got Blunt.
Oh. Tom Brady, Marshawn Lynch, and Alfred Morris. Not the best format for them. Calvin Johnson and Torrey Smith. Kyle Rudolph at tight end, Mike Evans at flex, and then James White, Kyrie Robinson, Cecil Shorts, Harry Douglas, the Seahawks defense as well. What do you think about taking Calvin Johnson number one in a PPR league?
I think if you really want to do it, you just don't want to trust any of those running backs. I'm not going to fight you on it. And it worked out really well for him because he got Lynch and Morris at good spots in the draft.
Yeah. All right, so Herc, so far you have my you and Dave of the four of us in here have my favorite team. Well, Jamie, my least favorite team. And then just, there's mine.
Just to talk about like the wide receivers, so when I took Edelman, I had Victor Cruz and Matt Ryan queued up. And I only had to wait four picks. And I'm like, my good chances. Well, Adam picked twice before me, and he took both of those players. Mm-hmm. And I went with Golden Tate.
Would you have gone with – this is after you picked Edelman?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I knew Jamie liked Golden Tate, and he's been having a good preseason. So I figured it was a decent pick there.
And let me go back to Kelsey. Have you seen him this preseason? Have you watched him play?
I haven't watched him play, but I've heard a lot of good things from Andy Reid, and you know, his performance stands out.
I want to read my team.
I've only
real
seen
quick.
The highlights. I got to see everything else.
And that would be Matt Ryan, LeSean McCoy, and Le'Veon Bell, Victor Cruz, and Mike Wallace. I waited on wide receiver. Rob Gronkowski is my tight end. My flex is either going to be Steven Ridley or Martellus Bennett, Sammy Watkins, and Marquise Lee. And in a PPR league, do not discount tight ends as a flex. They're going to be better than wide receivers sometimes. I think Martellus Bennett and Charles Clay were both like top 32 wide receivers last year based on their point totals. That's it.
So I hate like your receivers, team. But I like everything else. You're going to have to do a little work on the receiving core.
Well, I think I have a number two and a number three receiver.
Right, but they're parading as your number
one. For having Gronkowski.
Yeah, everything else on your team is all-star. Well, your flex is Ridley.
Is there a reason why Jamie's being so quiet over there?
He's drafting.
He's in a draft.
How's it going?
It's okay.
How many rounds you threw, and what have you got?
Round 9. I just made my pick in round 9. So my team is Kaepernick. I just took in round 8. Alfred Morris, Trent Richardson, Randall Cobb, Keenan Allen, Percy Harvin's my flex, Jimmy Graham's my tight end. And then so far I have Pierre Thomas and Mark Ingram on the bench.
Here's a team I want to highlight from yesterday's draft. A team that took Peyton Manning and Julius Thomas pretty early.
That had to be the first 2 rounds. First 3 rounds.
Definitely the first 3 rounds. Which team is this?
DeMarco Polamalu.
Oh, Cyrus Cheeseman.
Yeah, Marco Polo. Peyton Manning.
He's got the most delicious last name.
Arian Foster and either Andre Williams or Dexter McCluster at number 2 running back. Reggie Wayne, Keenan Allen and Reggie Wayne. Julius Thomas. Reuben Randall, Vernon Davis, Kenny Stills at flex. And Mason Crosby and the Panthers. It's an interesting team. I don't really like it on paper. What do you guys think?
Would you like it better if someone like took an airplane into the sky and wrote it in clouds?
Well, I'm not even looking at it on paper. I'm looking at it on the internet.
Well, which means you're just ignorant.
What do you think about using 2 of your first 3 picks on a tight end and a quarterback here?
I think you're going to end up with Reggie Wayne as one of your starters and Andre Williams as another. I think the mistake that this owner made was picking up Vernon Davis. He probably could have gotten a better running back or wide receiver there.
And definitely sleeper tight end.
Yeah, he could have gone the sleeper tight end route later on.
Herc, drop some words of wisdom.
You know what? I found an interesting strategy this year. Wide receiver, to me, is a very deep position. And I know you want one of those top guys, you know, just to have the steady presence and stuff. But, like, we were talking about in PPR formats, you know, how you can wait a little later.
It's definitely deeper in PPR.
Yeah, you know, but even in standard I found out even when we were doing our auction draft, you know, I didn't come out of the draft with great wide receivers, but last year I didn't come out with great wide receivers either, or that produced up to their standards, and I still was able to compete. So I'm almost like you can stream the most, you know, wide receivers off waivers.
Yeah, let's play a game quickly, Herc. I'm going to name a wide receiver. You tell me if you're comfortable starting them weekly as your number 2.
Standard or PPR?
Standard.
Okay.
Because well, talking PPR. Why don't you talk PPR?
Okay. I'll do a PPR.
Well, I'm going to
move. Okay, DeSean Jackson.
Yes.
Torrey Smith.
Not so much.
Okay, Golden Tate. I think you're going to say yes because you just took him. What about in a standard league, Golden Tate?
I would say so.
He's Colston. Better in standard than PPR.
Colston.
Yeah, I took Colston as a number 2.
Terrence Williams.
Yes, I think he's quickly moving up draft boards.
Julian Edelman in a standard league?
If Gronkowski's status is up in the air, I would say yes.
I would too, if his status is up in the air. Eric Decker.
No.
What about in a PPR league? I like him in a PPR. I can handle Eric Decker.
I know everyone's, I guess, getting excited for Geno Smith almost. The fact that, you know.
Who's getting excited for Geno Smith?
I don't know. Everyone's just saying he's going to be better in his second year. But, yeah, I'm still not there yet with the Jets offense. So.
All right. What about Reggie Wayne? Last one.
I don't think so right now. We just don't, they have so many. Now Akeem Nicks is on that team. I mean, he has so many weapons.
But he'll play a lot. He'll play a lot. They're not going to take him off the
field. I mean, there's
much.
Been great reports about Reggie Wayne, too.
Yeah, he's worked hard to come back. It's been nice to see.
Okay, let's let Dave go here. He's got radio to do. Herc, you, Jamie, and myself can answer some emails.
All right.
Christian from New Orleans. Dear Leather, Suede, and Velcro, what would you characterize Kendall Wright as, a RW2 or an RW3? I got him in the sixth round. a WR2 or a WR3?
I was confused there for a second.
I got right in the sixth round of my 12-team standard league. I had the 12th pick. So that was really the beginning of the sixth round, 61st overall. Kendall Wright, number two or number three receiver?
I would say number three.
Jamie?
Borderline two in PPR, definite three in standard.
What about, you know, Justin Hunter, though?
That well, see, here's the thing. I think you have to counterbalance where Kendall Wright was last year with where he should be this year. Because last year he was just a volume receiver that didn't score. I think the touchdowns go up, but I think the catches come down a little bit. Because we've talked about this a lot. Probably should have mentioned it before with the Jake Locker discussion. Locker's not the most consistent passer. His fantasy production does not come from his arm. It comes from a combination of his skills, running and throwing. And so I think you'll get some big plays from him when he takes some shots down the field to get the ball to Hunter. And I think his safety valve, his outlet, will be Kendall Wright. So I think, again, he's going to drop from 88 passes from a year ago to probably somewhere closer to 80. I think the yards come up a little bit, and I think the touchdowns come up a little bit. So that's why I said he's mostly considered a two in PPR, because 80 catches is still very good.
Patrick from Peoria, Illinois. Am I crazy to back up Romo with Cam Newton? I took Romo in the 8th and Cam in the 11th.
No, it's a good backup.
Yeah. You know, whenever you take a second quarterback, to me it's either you're uncertain about your starter, which in Romo's case I think a lot of people are going to be, unfortunately, but they're going to be. Or you're trying to take the high upside play with, can this guy become Rivers, Dalton, Cam Newton as a rookie, you know, Russell Wilson, these type of guys. Like, I would say, like the way I view Phil, I think Phillip Rivers takes a step back because of what I saw last year. Very good early on, but it wasn't a lot of throwing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of touchdowns. And then they just became a very balanced team. So I'd rather take a shot on Newton, like just based on like Dave's rankings, for example. Like Dave has Phillip Rivers 12. I don't see it. I would much rather take Romo and pair him with Newton, because if Cam gets back, you know, Adam, you've been banging this train a lot. He's been top seven each of his 3 years previously. Why can't he get back to that level again? Blah, blah, blah. It's totally understandable.
Yeah.
And so why not take a chance on him? Because if things click, he's going to be great.
So if you had Tony Romo, would you rather take a shot on Cam Newton or Russell Wilson?
I would probably take a shot on Russell Wilson, because I think Wilson's just as good this year.
Herc, how about you?
I would Newton.
Newton. Dan from Syracuse, grade the trade.
By the way, I'm about to take Russell Wilson to back up.
Oh, okay. Grade the trade. I give up Bernard Pierce and Devontae Freeman. I get Matt Ryan. My other quarterback is RG3, and my other running backs are Forte, Ellington, Gerhardt, and Sankey.
Oh. So
give up Pierce and Freeman for Matt Ryan.
A+.
Agree.
Paul from Pittsburgh. Good morning, Rocky, Franco, and Jerome. Those would be boxers.
Oh, okay.
No, just kidding. Those are Steelers running backs. I'm in a 10-team PPR league. Looking at my team at the end of the draft, I notice I have a lot of players with somewhat of an injury history. Is that okay? Should I make a trade for a safer player? He has Brady, McCoy, Geo, Julio, Cobb, Pitta, Doug Martin, Cutler, Spiller, Crabtree, Randall, Vereen. I mean, this is a great team, but there are some injury concerns. What do you think? Is it okay? Safe enough?
It's the Brady, McCoy, Bernard team?
Yeah. I think it's fine.
I think it's great.
Yeah, it's a great team.
I mean, Julio Jones and Randall Cobb are two top 10 receivers. You got three top 10 running backs?
Yeah, you'll be fine.
How is that a problem?
It's okay to take more injury guys in 10-team leagues anyway.
But where are the injury guys?
Well, Julio was hurt. Doug Martin was hurt. Randall Cobb was hurt. McCoy's been banged up. You know, it's more like it's more like fluky injuries, not like muscle strains and things like that. Dan from South Lyon, Michigan. Dear Jim, Doug, and now add to the list the Three Stooges. I don't quite get that one. I have to point out that last year you guys said you didn't look into roughly how hard players' schedules are when considering drafting them. Yet I consistently heard you guys talk taking the guy with the better matchup when it was regular season start or sit time, unless it was an elite guy. Also, I think it's crazy you guys want to have Sankey, Ball, and Gerhardt over Ben Tate. I love the show. Keep talking about Adam's chest hair and his affinity for cats. Hilarious.
How come Ethan wasn't in our podcast league?
Yeah, Ethan probably deserves. He should do the logo at least.
All right.
That's what you're going to relegate him to, the logo?
What am I supposed to do? Kick Dave out? Dave stayed up for the whole draft yesterday. He was a big grown-up. So anyway, guys, first of all, Ben Tate. Why do you have Sankey, Ball, and Gerhardt over Ben Tate?
I'm not that big of a believer in Tate this year.
And why do you always play the matchup start or sit, but don't look at schedules when you're drafting?
Well, it's funny you mention that, because I'll go back to think where we were last year I'll put it this way. Did you expect the Chiefs to be a good defense?
No.
Did you expect the Bills to have a good pass rush?
No.
Did you expect the Bears to be epically bad?
No, they lost. They lost a lot of players.
Okay. Did you expect the Patriots to lose the guys that they lost? Just playing the injury card?
Right.
That's what happens.
Yeah, right. You can't look
so
too far.
So to say, okay, wow, this guy's got a great matchup in week 7 right now, you just don't know. You know, it's like Dave keeps harping on the Steelers' defense because their schedule's good, which right now it does. It looks good. Does that mean come week 4 you're going to be happy that you took the Steelers over, let's say, the
Bengals?
Chiefs?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why I haven't really taken the Seahawks.
Well, the reason I didn't say the Bengals is because they're bye week 4.
Okay.
When I said week 4, I was like, okay, quick. Take out the Bengals, take out this.
I didn't take the Seahawks defense because I think defenses are unpredictable, Herc. You take the Seahawks every draft we do.
That's the one, though, that I think you can count on.
Yeah,
exactly. No, I mean, they're going to be good. Yeah. They're going to be great, but I don't know that they're going to be so much better than everyone else that they warrant a draft pick 2 rounds earlier than any other DST, or if not more, in a lot of leagues.
Right. I think, though, it's funny because when Dave said he was looking at the Seahawks, I was also looking at the Seahawks as well in our draft last night, because of exact same point, which is the best thing for my team right now as comparatively to what's the best thing in this round. And so that's, I think, where you have to weigh taking a defense early versus not taking a defense early.
Herc, final word.
Can we get the Herc love song on the way out?
We sure can.
All right.
Okay. That's Michael Hergum and Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard. I'm Adam Azer. We're back tomorrow with another Fantasy Football Today podcast. See you later.
Bye.
When you won't straight talk about Bene Akbayani and Prince Amuka Maka 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 Maka.